seeing him work, and we can't help but come together as a church and want to lift up his name. Our scripture today, we're going to start with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We're going to stand together this morning. We're going to sing At the Cross. so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. We're going to sing together, love of God. The love of God. To sing that God is so good, for the salvation he brings, for the death on the cross.
God is so
Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning as we begin. And yes, you can be seated. By the way, you know, folks, as you stand, that's fine. Sometimes we understand that it's a little bit tough to stand for a while. Some have a little bit more trouble. That's okay. Listen, if stand if you can. If you can't, that's fine. Yeah, nobody's going to sit there and point you out, or we're not going to do any of that. But we're glad that you're here this morning. We welcome you to Central Baptist Church. Let's call on the Lord today as in prayer as we gather in His name. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful, we're thankful for the opportunity to just gather in your name. Father, what a privilege it is. Help us, Lord, to never, ever take for granted the opportunity that we have for the special times to be able to gather in your name. Lord, even to be able to call on you right now, to simply bow our head and say, our Father in heaven, and for you to call us back by name. What a privilege that is. Today, Lord, as we come together, we trust and pray that you will help us to put aside those things that might hinder us from hearing you today. We know that there are many things taking place in our lives and around us that could draw our attention to pull it away from you. Help us, Father, to concentrate upon you and your word and our praise towards you in these moments, that we truly might have an opportunity to hear from you today. We know that you're here. We know that you are speaking to us. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I just thought about as we were singing that, the thing that we say, and we say it often around here because we mean it. And we say, God is good. And all the time. And we say that because He really, really is. I pray that as we have gathered in His house today, we have done so specifically that we're here to hear from Him. Now whatever the case or situation may be, and maybe you're here today, maybe it was one of those mornings where everything went wrong. You ever have those? Yeah, where you get up, and from the time you get up, it's just going awry. You know, you got tangled up in the blanket and fell out of bed, and then you stumped your toe on the way to the shower. Whatever the circumstance may be, the hot water was out. That is just a bad day. All of us have had those days, and sometimes we carry those in to our worship. Yeah, I pray that today, if that's the case, that you'll pause for this moment and just simply say, Lord, today ain't going so good. Help me to refocus upon you and to hear from you. Help me to do what your word says, to be still in your presence. Now, if you're joining us today as part of our online crew, be sure to say hello to Dr. Cazito back there. Work him hard. If you have any questions along the way, just tell him. Ask him. Say, hey, look, I've got a question about this, that, or the other thing. And he'll make sure that you get an answer. If he can't answer it right then, he'll get with us and we'll get you answered before the day is over with. But I appreciate Dr. Cazito being there to interact with you guys so that you feel like you're part of our family as well. If you're providentially hindered and cannot be with us in person, or still don't feel comfortable yet, we understand that, but thank you at least for tuning in, and thank you for showing up here. Today we're going to look at some passages out of the book of Numbers, chapter 20. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over to Numbers, chapter 20. Now, I titled this morning's message, Deja Vu. Now, I am not necessarily one of those guys. Like I said, I grew up as a hillbilly. That was kind of a foreign word, but most of us have heard that. Most of us know what that is. But if for some reason today you don't know what that is, I went ahead and took the liberty of looking up what the definition of deja vu is. Now, I can't tell you whether that was Webster or whatever it is. I'll just call it the online definition that when I pulled it up, defined deja vu as this: a feeling of having already experienced the present situation. How many of you all understand that? You know what we're talking about. You may have even used that term along the way in your life. You're like, deja vu. The feeling that you've been here before. Now, sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes if it's a good memory or a good place, or you're looking around, you're like, this reminds me of something, that's not bad. Sometimes you go and you're like, I'm getting this deja vu feeling that we've been there before. Sometimes you know exactly what it is, and it's not necessarily a good thing. You have traveled this path before, and it didn't turn out well. So I want you to keep in mind deja vu as we look at these particular passages this morning that come out of Numbers chapter 20. And yeah, we got to remember, this is at the time when Israel has been led out of Egypt by Moses. Yeah, they're supposed to be heading to the promised land. Now, because we're at this particular juncture, we're looking back upon it, we can see all of the things that happened. We can see all the things that took place. But that's often hard to see when you're in the middle of your circumstances, and when you're in the middle of a situation, it's often hard to see beyond that, isn't it? How many times do we sit in the middle of our situations and we say, I have no idea what tomorrow's going to look like? Sound familiar over the past year and a half? Yeah, how many times have we gone in to work thanking God that we actually had a job to be able to go to? How many times have we looked and said, I don't know what tomorrow may hold in a certain circumstance or situation? Maybe it was a health issue or something, and you're like, I don't know what the future will hold. It is always easier to look back over a situation and glean from it than it is to capture it in the moment. So you have to understand where Israel was at this particular point in the Scriptures. They have left. They have marched out. Now, I've said that must have been a roller coaster of emotion as they left Egypt. If you remember, the taskmasters had been hard on them. Israel, they were slaves. They had Pharaoh had increased their quotas on all the things that they needed to do. And they just were hating where they were. And the Lord heard their cry. Now, we also know the process that things went through as Moses essentially kept going to Pharaoh saying, let my people go. I think if I was Moses, I've looked at that passage and thought to myself, I'm like, Lord, I did exactly what you told me to do, exactly when you told me to do it, and I was thinking that you were going to like grab this guy and throttle him or something. Man, I was thinking it was all just going to turn out wonderful. Have we ever done that in our life and in our prayers? See, you got to remember that the very first time when he went in there and God told him what to do. And if you remember, Pharaoh and his magicians recreated the exact same thing. It was like, oh, wasn't expecting that. Wasn't expecting you to be able to do that. And sometimes it almost looks like you're sitting there going, God, what happened? It's kind of like you threw me under the bus on that one. This was supposed to be your big moment to shine. You threw me under the bus. What's the story with that? Why did that happen? So we know that there was a process. I can imagine what it must have been like as they were leaving, as they were rejoicing. When Pharaoh finally said, okay, look, man, get your people and get out of here. I can imagine them doing the happy dance. You know, hey, we're finally out. We're going to be able to do what we want to do. We're going to be able to be what God wants us to be. And then they get down there and get backed up against the Red Sea. Yeah, Pharaoh's army approaches them, and what happens to their psychological disposition? It changed, didn't it? All of a sudden, I mean, I can picture them, holding Moses up and lifting him up, going, hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray, three cheers for the guy that delivered us. And then in the next breath, they're sitting there going, what's the matter with you? You led us out here to die. You've led us to this particular place. Now we're all going to die out here. Now, we know that their track record was the same as this journey continued. We know that when they got to the borders of Kadesh Barnea, and they were looking out over the promised land. Remember what it was that God said to them. The land that flows with milk and honey. This is going to be the land that I am leading you to. That sounded really good, didn't it? The problem was they got there and even had a chance to see it. That's when they sent the spies. And the spies came back and said, man, it is everything we heard it was going to be. But we can't do it. There's giants down there. They will snuff us out. At this point, God gets a little tired of their disobedience. See, that's the reason why they were sentenced to roam in the wilderness for 40 years. In other words, those that were making those decisions did not even have the opportunity at that point. It's like, take a good look. This is as close as you're going to get to the promised land. Remember, he put an age on there. All of you all that should have known better and led the people astray, you're going to drop dead in the wilderness. You're not going to get to enjoy the promised land. So they're out there in the midst of the wilderness, and that's not home. That's not a place. Now, I want to interject something right now. I've said this about God's people, and I've said this about church. I am grateful for the technologies. I am grateful for the things that God has given us. But, folks, church is not something that you can just do from home. Church is being a part of the body of Christ. So, listen, by the way, if you're watching, glad you're watching, but come on home. Come on back. Come on and be a part of the body of Christ where we function together and live together and serve together and worship together. Now, what happened is they get out there to the... Remember, they're roaming again in the wilderness, waiting on yet another chance to try to enter the promised land. And we get to these passages in Numbers chapter 20, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 2. It says this. It says, "Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron." Now let me pause right there for just a moment. We are really, really good, and we get it honest because this traces all the way back to even this particular juncture, meaning God's people. We are professional complainers, aren't we? How many of y'all, come on, confession's good for the soul. How many of you complain? Complainers. Hallelujah, you're my people. We complain. That's what we do, you know. Well, Sam, what do you think about that? What do we think about this? Oh, well, it could have been a little bit more done. Could you brown that a little bit more? Where's my tea? Reminded me of Bugs Bunny. Where's my Hossenpfeffer, cook? We get bent out of shape over so many things. And it says that what happened was when they hit an issue in the midst of their wilderness roaming, what is the first thing they did? You didn't see them get a committee together and say, well, let's go see if we can find water. They didn't get a group together to say, here's what can we do? We're getting in a critical situation. And folks, listen, you got to keep in mind the numbers. We are talking about millions of people. We're not talking about a group of 50 or 100. We're talking about several million people. And they have no water. So what is the first thing they do? Instead of trying to solve the problem, they did what you and I are prone to do. They complained. Who did they complain to? They went and complained to Moses. Remember the guy that they were going, hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray. Three cheers for Moses. He's led us out of here. We're free. Now he's the problem. Now it's your deal. You've got to get us water. You've led us out here to die. How many times in the midst of their crisis did they look out and say, we'd have been better off to just died in Egypt. We'd have been better off to have simply done that. So what happens is they go to notice verse 2. I love how that's approached at the end of it. It says, latter part of verse 2 says, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. They had a meeting is what they did. It says in verse 3, and the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, now let me brighten that up. Let's call it what it is. If you look at that verse in a different translation, the New King James kind of softens that up a little bit. If you look at that in ESV, it says, and the people quarreled with Moses. We understand the word quarreled a little bit more, don't we? So the people contended or quarreled with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? We just don't have any water, so it'd have been better off if I'd have just died back there with the rest of them that have dropped dead in the wilderness. It'd have been better if we'd have just died back at Kadesh. It'd have been anything but this. Have you ever been there? Anything but this. And that's strong. Now imagine being Moses. They go to him and say, we'd be better off dead. Whew. That's some deep rooted feeling that they've got there. Notice again, verse 3, latter part. If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And he goes on, and notice the blame is getting pointed toward Moses. Verse 4 says, why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our animals should die here? What is the reason why we're here? Do you realize what that means? What that means is either they didn't know it or they had forgotten it. And I believe that it's more they had forgotten their reason. They had forgotten their purpose. They had forgotten who they are. They had forgotten how the Lord had taken care of them. And he said to Moses, why have you done this to us? I think Moses should have gone and said, okay, let me remind you why we're here. Let's go back and look again at Egypt. Let's go back and look at all the brick you had to make. Let's look at how you complained and how you cried out to God. And now you're saying you would rather be there than here? You see, folks, here's part of the problem. Part of the problem is Israel hadn't arrived yet to the promised land. They were still on the journey. They just didn't like the journey. Now, I know that a lot of us, it depends on attitude. We talk about attitude and we talk about perspective. You know what? If I were to sit back and say, you know what? I would love to go to Wyoming. Now, some of you in here have done that. You've gone on that Wyoming mission trip. You've reached out to that camp. Now, here's the one thing. There's two different perspectives on that. Some of you have driven and some of you have flown and some of you have done both. Now, most of the time what happens is we're excited to be about the mission, and we want to get there. Now, taking 3 days to drive seems like drudgery, doesn't it? It's kind of like, man, I'll tell you one thing. I wish I could go and be there. Or I wish I could get on that plane, or whatever the situation is. I wish I could be there. Folks, let me encourage you to do something and challenge you to do something. Enjoy the journey. Because the journey is part of the destination. Getting there should be half the fun. Have you ever taken a trip? Now, me, I'll be honest with you, I'm guilty of that. I am like hammered down. You put me in the car, I want to get from point A to point B. You know, I loved what my brother Jim McDonald said a few years ago. He had a chance to do a ride. He did a motorcycle ride, a long distance ride, and Jimmy was sitting there. Jimmy was wanting to enjoy some of the sights, and Jimmy said, he said, I was riding along, and it just cracks me up thinking about it. And he's like, oh well, hey, yeah, here's a spot that'd be great to see. Well, what about that? He never got a chance to stop and really enjoy the journey. He said, man, they would get there and ride, 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 ride. It was like a contest just to get to a particular point. And he said, although I love riding, I'd like to stop and see a few sights along the way. What kind of sights are you enjoying along the way in the journey? What are you learning to make getting to the destination just as fulfilling as arriving at the destination? Now, Israel had messed up. That's why they were roaming around in the wilderness. That's the reason they were in the circumstance and in the situation that they were in. And now they're ticked off. They're mad. They're assessing blame. They're not trying to solve the problem. They're trying to come up with a fall guy or a victim by which to be able to blame for the circumstance and the situation that they're in. So they're complaining. Complaining to Moses and Aaron. Now, verse 5 says, this is the people still addressing Moses and Aaron. Verse 5 says, and why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Did you notice that? Why have you made us? Nobody made them. That's what they wanted. That's what they were after. Nobody twisted their arm. What they did was they accepted God's answer for them when they left Egypt. And now all of a sudden it was like they were forced to do it. Well, I didn't want to be here anyway. Have you ever used that? Yeah, you went along willingly, and then you're like, well, I didn't want to be here anyway. I didn't want to do this anyway. Well, you know what? You came of your own free will. You came of your own choice. Yeah, and that's what, and now all of a sudden they're sitting there going, now notice it again. Verse 5, and why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. Wait a minute. Now all of a sudden, they've got this expectation in their mind of what it's supposed to look like. You know what the biggest problem with this is? They haven't arrived at the promised land yet, have they? They're looking around in their present and current condition and complaining about what it's not about what it is. Notice that again. You've brought us to this evil place. It is not a place of grain or figs or pomegranates. Now, why do I say that? I say that because you and I get ourselves in circumstances and situations, don't we? This is not where you thought you would be 2 years ago, is it? If I would have said 2 years ago to you all, where do you think we would be? Now, when I say we, I insert yourself into that situation, whether it's family, whether it's job, whether it's church, whatever it may be. Would you have ever said, well, let's see, 2 years from now, I will have lost my job because of this thing called COVID. Two years from now, I'm going to be in dire straits financially. 2 years from now, and the list goes on and on and on. Would you have ever guessed that? No. Let me tell you something, folks. The journey doesn't always look like we think it should look. But let me tell you what I know. I know that God is in the middle of the journey as well as the destination. And for me, there's a lot of things that don't turn out the way we thought they should or the way they think we should. Now, I've said this before, but it always reminds me. How many times, or how many of you all, as a senior in high school, maybe it was before you were a senior, for me it was when I was a senior, I had to write a paper in my senior English class on where I saw myself in 5 years. How many of y'all had to write one of those? A few. Some of y'all look like you did it in a tablet with a hammer and a chisel. Where am I going to be in 5 years? Now, of the 2.5 that answered the question, how many of you all were where you said you would be or thought you would be in 5 years? How many of you all made that destination? My hand's up just as an example. Here's my answer. No. And let me tell you why. Because God had other plans. And God's will is going to come to fruition. You don't know. Listen, we've hit roadblocks, speed bumps. We've been diverted from what we thought was right. Now, the idea is for us not to have our own concept of where we need to be, but rather to get on God's page about where He wants us to be. Then you'll find yourself in the right location. Israel was not in the right location, and it was because God had to put up a detour because they messed up. That's why they were in the wilderness. But along the way, they should have been learning some things. But in the middle of, let me kind of translate verse 5 for you. Verse 5 is in our modern society is us saying, I didn't think it'd be like this. I didn't think my job would be like this. I didn't think the people around me would be like this. I didn't think that these were the things that were going to happen. I didn't think that these would be people that would turn their back on me. I didn't think that my family would do this to me. I didn't think, and the list goes on and on and on. In the middle of our circumstances and in the middle of our situations, we just sit back and go, this is not right. Now, I know I don't have to ask for a show of hands on this one. You know what I'm talking about. It's not supposed to look this way. Well, here's the thing. It's not, but based on whose view? Yours? This is what I have found in my life. You may be different. In my life, here's what I found out. 100% of the time, the way I've got it planned is not the way God has it planned. 100% of the time, God has a different plan for it. And how many times have I gotten in the middle of it and said, it's not supposed to look like this? What was it that they said? That's what they were saying. This is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. This place is horrible. This is not what I had pictured. This is not what, Moses, this is not what you told us that God said this place was going to be like. If I was Moses, I'd have said, yeah, here's the problem. The problem is, we're not there yet because y'all messed up back there. Get it? They had relegated themselves. They hadn't completed the mission yet. We're not where we're supposed to be. God has us on a journey. It's not all about the destination. We're learning along the way concerning in the journey. So what happened after they made this complaint to Moses? Verse 6 tells us this. It says, so Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. That's a really good thing to do. They had just gotten lambasted by the people, the millions of people, or their representatives. Look here, Moses, Aaron, this ain't the way it's supposed to be. Well, what are we doing here? What are you going to do about it? It's your fault. So what Moses and Aaron do? The best thing they could do, they hit their knees in prayer. It says in middle of verse 6, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod. By the way, why did he tell him to take the rod? If you remember, the rod was the example of God's presence for the people. It was the example of God's presence for Moses. That rod played a significant part, not because it was the rod, but because it was who the rod represented. If you remember at the Red Sea, what happened? God told him to take the rod, hold his hands up, remember? And what happened? The waters parted. If you also remember that when Israel was in battle, as long as Moses stood there and held the rod up, Israel prevailed. When the rod came down, Israel would begin to lose the battle. The presence of God is what makes all the difference in the world. He says in verse 8, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and to their animals. God answers his prayer. Don't you wish God would answer prayer that way, audibly? I do. Listen, there's times I'm sitting there going, Lord, it's just me and you. We're in a quiet place. Nobody's around. Could you speak audibly to me? Now, here's the reason why, Lord, because I'm not telling you anything that you don't really know, but I'm a little dense. Sometimes I have a little. It would be so much better and so much clearer if I had a moment like Moses did at the burning bush. Remember, Moses. God, I need to know. But instead, I find myself like the brother who put the fleece out. Now, Lord, I heard what you said. Let me put this rug out here, and I tell you what, how about making it dry and the ground all wet? Then I'll know that this is exactly the way it should go. That was Gideon, remember? Gideon gets up the next day, ground's wet, fleece is dry. There's your answer, Gideon. Gideon's like, I just got to be sure. Maybe I had some bad chipped beef last night or something. I don't know. But I just got to make sure. Don't we do that? Lord, don't be mad with me. God probably wasn't mad, but I'm sure he was going, And he said, let me put the fleece out again. This time make the ground dry and the rug wet. And it said he wrung out several bowls of water. Remember that? Did you get the point? Do you get what's happening? I wish God would just speak to me like that. I know all of us do. But God spoke to him and God gave him explicit directions. Remember what he said. Now let me go back up in verse 8 because this is important. In the middle of it, he tells him to gather the people together and do something to this rock. What? Speak to the rock. Now I know that you are probably wondering what deja vu has to do with this. Here's where it comes in. Moses has been in this position before, hadn't he? Matter of fact, same circumstance, same situation. They needed water. In fact, if you've got your pen, jot this down in your Bible, Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. That's where you will find the first scenario of this situation. But you see, if I carry you back without going back there particularly and going through those passages in Exodus, same sort of situation happened, and God gave Moses instructions there as well. The instructions that he gave him in Exodus chapter 17 was what? He told him the same deal with a rock, except he told him to do something to the rock. What was it? Strike the rock. He says, you take the rod, you go out, you strike the rock, water will flow forth. And that's exactly what happened in Exodus chapter 17. Fast forward, here we are again, same scenario, same situation. They're thirsty, they're hollering at Moses and Aaron. God gives similar yet different directions and instructions, doesn't he? He tells Moses to go out this time and what? Speak to the rock. Now, we are creatures of habit, aren't we? Now, I've said this before. A lot of us have been shaken completely out of the frame over the last 18 months, and particularly over the last couple weeks, because our seat don't feel comfortable anymore, does it? We sit in the same place. We are Baptist. We got names on seats. I mean, I know where to look for you. I can be up here and somebody will say, well, was so-and-so here today? And I'll go, left aisle, three quarters. Nope, they weren't here. There was a hole there. It's like the seating chart that you had in school. We know where people sit. How many of y'all are sitting pretty much in the same place you normally sit? Look at those hands. Put them up proud. Come on, be proud of it. Yeah, I'm a creature of habit. I like that. I'm standing in the same spot I normally stand on Sunday. Feels comfortable. That's why we do it. It feels comfortable. So what happens is when we do something again, listen, Moses had good results last time, didn't he? So now I don't know whether his mind took a vacation or what have you, or whether he was a creature of habit, but he messed up this time, didn't he? Let me drop you on down to verse 11. Verse 11 says this. It says, then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Wait a minute, back up a minute. A few verses before, he was supposed to do what to the rock? Speak to it. Verse 11 says he did what? He struck it. Now, he modified it a little bit from what he did in the book of Exodus, because he struck it twice. This time he thought, well, hey, if I got water out of it last time when I struck it once, maybe I'll strike it again and get even more. Dude, come on. That is not what God told you to do. He told you specifically to speak to the rock. And not only did you not speak to the rock, not only did you strike it, you struck it twice. You set out to do your own thing. Now, let me tell you, God still honored who he was in the middle of that situation, because the middle of verse 11 says, even through Moses' disobedience and striking the rock twice, middle of verse 11 says, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Remember, several million people. God was still faithful to his people, even in the midst of Moses' disobedience, but it was costly. It was costly because verse 12 tells us, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and this is what he said, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Ouch. Moses has had a long history, hadn't he? Moses really didn't even want to come back. Remember, if you got to remember, he was raised in Egypt. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. He killed a man, and therefore he wound up having to flee. God goes after him while he's tending sheep. That's the burning bush experience. And he says, you're going to be the one to go to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, in a modern day translation, Moses said, God, maybe you don't understand this or not, but I'm not real popular back in Egypt right now, and I'm really not popular with Pharaoh's household. Pick someone else. And remember, he started making excuses. Lord, I don't speak. I'm not a good public speaker. You've picked the wrong guy. God did not let him off the hook. He said, okay, I'll tell you, you tell Aaron, Aaron will be your mouthpiece. That's the way this whole thing's been rolling. He goes in there, he goes through all the circumstances and situations. Pharaoh finally lets the people go. It has been ups and downs from the very, very get-go. Remember, the destination was the promised land. And you know what God has just told Moses in this passage? Because of his disobedience, here's what he said. You will not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. You started off great, but you're not going to finish. If you remember there at the end of his life, God allowed him to see it from a high peak, remember? But he never got to enter it because of his disobedience. Listen, what are we causing because of our disobedience to God in this day and age? I know it probably doesn't look like you think it should. For some of us, you feel like you're in the very darkest bottom of the valley, and you're like, this is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not what God said. This is not what he told me. There are no pomegranates here. There's no milk. There's no honey. This is just a deep, dark cave with nothing. God said, you haven't arrived yet. This is just a roadside stop. Yeah, like I said, I'm a Baptist. I like a good meal. Amen? Okay, when I'm driving down the road and I stop at the rest area, I don't get overly excited about the big sign that says vending machines. Do you? Oh, don't get me wrong. Listen, I need a little something. I need me a soft drink. I need me a pack of Nabs. Yes, I said Nabs. I need a moon pie and an RC or something like that. But listen, that's not what I'm after. You know what I'm after? A steak, baked potato with all the fixings, salad, good old tea to drink. That's a meal. The rest area ain't cutting it. But see, that it helps along the way for the journey, doesn't it? You know, when Israel got there and said, this is a vending machine. This is not a steak and a baked potato. I think if I was Moses, I'd have said, yeah, we ain't there yet either. Be grateful for what you've got. But there was punishment. See, Moses got punished because of his disobedience. Didn't get to lead him in there. Verse 13 says, this was the water of Meribah because the children of Israel contended with the Lord. Now, remember what contended meant? Quarreled. So because the children of Israel contended or quarreled with the Lord, verse 13, he was hallowed among them. Now, it's interesting that this is actually kind of making a reference back to the Red Sea. Back when the Lord fulfilled it. You should have remembered what I did back there. You should have remembered what I've done in your life. You should remember the times that I have carried you through and I have seen you through, and yet you didn't trust me. How many times have we ever had a conversation with somebody, we're trying to convince them of something, and we use these words? I know this sounds a little weird to you, but just trust me. You ever done that? I want you to trust me. Just trust me on this. And they're sitting there going, this just doesn't sound right. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. And there have been times when they trusted you and it came out exactly the way that you told them that it would, and it was a good thing. And they even said to you, you know what, I never thought that I would have seen this. And you're like, look, I have done this 1,000 times. Just trust me on this, I got it. God has every circumstance and every situation right there in the palm of his hand. Every one of them. The question is, are we going to enjoy the ride or are we going to grumble and complain? Some of you all have had those opportunities to drive a long distance with the family. You've had that nightmare happen, right? Now, don't get me wrong. The destination was great once you got there and got them a nap and got them fed and everything else. But the journey was a nightmare. Mom, he's putting his hands on me. What is that smell? What are y'all doing? Yeah, all these crazy things that are taking place in the car, and y'all ready to kill each other. That's what, remember the statement, don't make me stop this car. Because you got tired and you got bored, and that's not the fun. You know, the magic kingdom awaited, but you know, it took time to get there. Right? Folks, this is a journey. We're on a journey. And right now, we're in a pretty dark cavern, aren't we? But we're going to emerge. Because this is not the destination. We got to remember that. We got to keep that in the forefront of our mind. Let's not be like the children of Israel. And let's not even be like Moses in this particular example, who disobeyed the Lord in the midst of his circumstances and in the midst of his situations. There's a lot of things that we need to consider today based on where we are. You know what? I think that the majority of people today don't like where we are. Don't like where we are as a country. Don't like where we are as an employee or an employer. Don't like where we are. And what have we done? You ready? We have gotten a terrible, terrible attitude, haven't we? Have you had a bad attitude? You see my hand? There have been times where I felt like my head was going to blow up. And you're like, why is it that the simplest little things create the most gigantic problems, right? This is not that hard. You know, I'm serious. It's like, oh no, somebody left the water on. What are we going to do? Well, my answer is reach over there and turn the knob off. And what you wind up getting in this day and age is, well, let's form a committee. Let's pick 7 people so that in case it's a split, we won't have a tie. And let's have 97 meetings to determine what's taking place and what's going on to figure out what we need to do. Shut the water off. It's not that hard. Why have we complicated the most simple things? Now, folks, Moses heard from God audibly, didn't he? Go out there and speak to the rock. Yes, sir. Listen, people, gather around. You're not following instructions. You're not following my directions. And if you're not careful, there's going to be a cost for it. What kind of cost are we paying today? I'm going to ask Lynn if she'll take her place. We're going to have our invitation in just a moment. But here's what we need to understand today about God's Word in so many different ways. What we need to understand about this particular situation and what we need to learn from these passages today. There are several things. Number one, we are on a journey heading toward a destination. We haven't arrived yet. And no, it may not look like you've had it planned, and it's because it's not comfortable for us. We don't like being uncomfortable, do we? No, we don't like, we like being in our comfort zone. Everybody's got a comfort zone. And when we get in our comfort zone, that's when we're taking it easy. You've heard me say this one before. They don't call that chair a worker boy or a go-getter boy. That chair that you sit in is called a what? Lazy boy. Because it's comfortable. It's got a stick shift on the side. You can lay it back. It can put you in la-la land. But this is not the time to retreat back to Egypt. This is not the time to hit the lazy boy. This is the time to work, for the night is coming when no man will have an opportunity to work. We will get our rest. We will take our rest. On our way to a destination, we are becoming something. And at times we don't like it. Listen, I don't like being where I am, but here's what I know. If I don't learn what I need to learn right here, I'll never get to where God wants me to be. I'll never get out of the valley and get back on the mountaintop until I figure out what it is God's trying to teach me in the valley below. And I do know this. In the midst of being in the valley, in the midst of my complaining, here's what I need to understand. God has a plan. God is revealing His plan, and God expects us to follow His plan. And when we don't, we create problems for ourselves, just like Israel did. They wound up years and years roaming around. Would they say, this place don't have pomegranates, this place don't have what? Well, this is not the place God had intended for you. You screwed that up back there when you decided to take a left at Kadesh Barnea. That's your fault. But thanks be to God, there's confession for that. Now, first of all, my question is simply this. Have you begun the relationship with the Savior? Is He your Lord? Is He your God? Let me tell you what I know happens. When I close my eyes and I bow my head and I say, Lord, here's what He says. He says, yeah, Roy, He knows me by name. Why does He know me by name? Because I'm one of His children. Can the same be said of you? If you were to close your eyes, bow your head and say, Lord, is He going to call you by name because you know Him, you have a relationship, or is He going to say, and you are... Have you begun that relationship with Him? Listen, it's not about doing the do's and don't doing the don'ts. That's not what it's about. What being a Christian is about is a personal relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ. Listen, let me tell you what I know, and this should make some of y'all feel better. Every one of us are messed up. Right? We are all sinners saved by grace. We are all jacked up. None of us are perfect. None of us are right. Now, some of us think we are, but we're not. We're not perfect. We're sinners saved by grace. Are you a sinner saved by grace? Have you confessed before the Lord, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Today I'm asking you to come into my heart. If that's you, I'm simply just going to ask wherever you are, if you're viewing us online, driving down the road, wherever you may be. Yeah, if you're driving down the road, don't close your eyes, but go to the Lord in prayer and just simply confess to Him. Say, Lord, I understand my sin today. And Father, I'm asking you to forgive me. Come into my life and save my soul. Now, I can make you a promise that if you prayed that from your heart, that there's rejoicing of the saints in heaven today because your name's being written in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. And when you call on the Father, He will answer you by name. And He's got a home built in heaven for you, just for you. Jesus went to Calvary's cross just for you. He died, shed His blood for you, for the remission of your sin. Isn't that great? Now, for the rest of us who are just hard-headed and stubborn, oh, we know the Lord. Yeah. We just irritate Him. We put gray hairs in God. So He's like, well, how many times have I got to tell you? You're putting out fleeces. You're doing this. You're doing that. Listen, will you just stop long enough to hear? Listen, you're hearing what I'm telling you. Do it. Do it, man. Just do it. What was that, Nike's motto? Just do it. You don't need a committee. God told you to do it. Turn the water off. Turn it off. What is God telling you today? Maybe for you and maybe for me. We just need to confess to Him today. Lord, you know what? I am just so messed up. That's okay. God hears that prayer. Tell you how many times my prayer has been, Lord, I am so messed up, I don't even know up from down and left from right now. I'm sorry. I really want to make it right, and I need you to forgive me. I need you to put me in a right frame of mind. I need for you to help me to hear. I need for you to guide me. I need you to get me back on the right track. And like the prodigal son, when he returned home, the father ran out and met him. Welcomed him home as a son. Maybe today you need to get up out of the hog pen and head home. The Father's waiting for you. Whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance may be, today we're giving you that opportunity. Right? Nothing magic about coming down here and talking to the pastor, but we'd love to celebrate with you. Listen, if you accepted Christ today or you're getting things together with Him, if you're part of our online audience, let Dr. Cassito know. We would love to celebrate with you. If you just trusted Christ, we want to get some material in your hands to help you to grow in His grace. We're not going to bother you. We're not going to sell your name to, you know, some email list. You get enough of them as it is. We just want to help you. Maybe today you just need a new start. Maybe it's just time to wake up. Maybe today was that day. You give it to the Lord. Listen, if you need me, if you trusted Christ here, listen, we want to celebrate. We got baptism next week. That'd be a great, great way to start your walk off. It includes our online audience. If you trusted Christ, hey, baptism's coming up. We'll talk about that. Let me know. Yeah, let Dr. Cazito know, and he'll let me know, and we'll talk. We'll get together. Next week's going to be a great, great Sunday. I have a feeling. What decision do you need to make? I'm just simply going to ask that you stand where you are as Lynn leads us in our time of invitation. If you need me, I will be at the front. Whatever the case may be, make it a new start today. Be different because you've been in the house of the Lord. Will you respond to the Father? The invitation closes, that doesn't mean that God's invitation in your life has closed. You deal with Him. He's working on your heart for a reason, because He loves you. He's speaking to you. This time I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to You, we are grateful and thankful for all the provision that You have given us in our lives. Lord, today, we just ask that You would help us to be faithful to return to You that portion that You have so richly blessed us with. May we be found faithful to return that tithe and to give that offering, that You might bless us and bless us indeed. Father, it's not simply just to keep the bills paid around the church, but You have said that You will bless us, that You will pour forth Your blessing upon those that are faithful in returning that tithe to You. May we experience that like never before, as though we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Amen. I tell you, God is good all the time. God is good. Brent, I'm going to ask you to do something for me, if you would. Will you get Brad and Lachelle? We'll go ahead and take them on over there, so we'll have an opportunity to share a little bit of time with Brad and Lachelle. We'll tell you a little bit more about them as we go forward. Keep in mind our committees as we search for two positions within our church, that of music as well as that of youth. I want to give you a couple of quick reminders. First of all, this coming week, if you happen to see these folks around, wish them a happy birthday. If you send cards, that would be great as well. Tomorrow, Jonathan Fondeau will actually get another year older. Wednesday, Donna Miller. And then Thursday, Jason Wall. So as you see those folks this week, be sure to wish them a happy birthday. We don't have any anniversaries listed this week. Next week is going to be a very busy week, okay? Next week is the 12th of September. We have a lot of things that are going on. That is our church picnic that is out at 4th of July Park. Is that 4th of July Park? Is that what it's called? Triad Park. Yeah, 4th of July is down here. I knew I was getting ready to say that wrong. Triad Park out there on the other side of Colfax. Y'all know, same place we always have it. So there's sign-up sheets out there. If you're going to come, please sign up. That way we'll know how many folks to plan for as we usually do a cookout. Blessing will be said at 1 o'clock. We'll get out of church. Blessing will be at 1 o'clock over at the park. Please sign up. Sign-up sheets in the narthex as well as over in the office lobby. Also, next week we will have baptism. We'll be baptizing. So we got four on our list to baptize next week during our morning worship service. So we look forward to that. Come and celebrate with these folks. And then also next week, the 12th, will be the kickoff for Awana. It's going back to its regular time, starting at 5:30. There are precautions that Commander Tony has put out. And I probably said that. They don't call you Commander anymore, do they? I'm just getting old. I like Commander too, so. The heavy. But anyway, we're still calling him. I don't know if I think they changed the terminology, but I'm getting old. But at any rate, we all know him as Commander Tony. But at any rate, y'all come and join us for that. He's got some special ways of doing things. It will start at 5:30. We had a shortened version of that last year as we were going through COVID. But it's going back to its regular time, meet in the gym, 5:30. This coming next Sunday is actually more of our meet and greet. You get to see the teachers and kind of find out what the instructions are going to be like and that sort of thing. So be sure next Sunday, 5:30, for Awana. And there's probably other things that I'm missing out on, but we'll try to let you know through the venues of our communication venues. Blood drive is coming up. Is that Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday. Tuesday. So if you donate blood, and even if you don't, sign up and donate blood. Katie takes care of that. That's Katie, wave down front. Katie's down here down front. And Katie could use your help with volunteering to either sign people up, make sure that they're not passing out or something. So if you're sitting there watching somebody have a nice snack afterwards and they keel over, just go get Katie. That's all you got to do. You don't have to do CPR or any of that. Get her. She'll take care of it. But if you can help with that this coming Tuesday, see Katie. If you can't help with it, but you can sign up to donate, I'm sure she can accommodate you there as well. Just talk to her afterwards, and she'll get you on the list and headed in the right direction. Okay?
Never donated blood before, and you're terrified, or it's been a long, long
okay, Katie's more than happy to talk you into it if you've had a bad experience or you're afraid. That's what happened to me. They had some chili or something there one. I can't remember what it was, but Peggy told me I couldn't have any chili unless I gave blood. And I thought, well, I'll show you. So I gave blood. Been given ever since. So, but it works out really, really good. See her after the service, and she'll get you squared away. Now, pray for our personnel team as we work to get a search team together to fill positions within our church. Brad and his wife are a candidate that we are essentially beginning talks with. So our personnel team is actually going to meet with them for just a few moments here in the other building after this closing prayer. So continue to keep us in your prayers. As things progress, we'll let you know a little bit more about what's going on and what is taking place. So at this time, I'm going to retreat over there to that meeting because I'm a Baptist and we all like to eat lunch at some point. I'm going to ask Commander Tony if he would come up, lead us in our prayer of dismissal. If you have anything that you would like to share about Awana, please do that before we pray, and then see us off in prayer.
About complaining in our sermon, it's wrong for the pastor to talk about steak and baked potatoes and then keep us for 20 more minutes. So there we go. Yeah, certainly Awana is excited next week. Registration 5:30. We're really excited to get a more normal year started back. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful to be able to gather here today, and so thankful that we can see each other, so thankful that we can feel your spirit and your love among us. God, we just ask that you take heed from the words that you had for us today as we go out and in a world that we know is not ours, in a world that is overwhelming at the moment, but as our pastor said, to keep in the forefront of our mind is that's not our home. We're so thankful for the salvation that you've provided for us. God, help us remember that just this week, that this isn't our home. This is just on the road to our home. God, certainly ask that you be with those that are gathered talking to a candidate today. God, if that's the person that you would have for Central Baptist Church, I pray that they fall in love with each other over there and they're ready to make a deal. But God, we just love you. We praise you. For in Jesus' name, amen.